Check, check, check. Check, check, check. You lived and died, rejected and alone.
Thank you. Thank you. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. So I'm not signing up for this anytime soon, but I've kind of told the family, if God calls me home, I want you to sing that at my service. It might be you and the piano player, but I'd like you to sing that at my service, because that song talks about the hope we have in Christ and how we can stand there confident that every step we take, every action we are involved in, Christ alone is the one who gives us that strength and makes it count. So we're really blessed in that. Good to see everybody today. We're here at the tail end of summer. Can you believe it already? We're at the end of August. I say end. We did the school supplies. 135 backpacks distributed. There's a lot of new erasers at Marionville Schools, okay? We'll just say it like that. And, you know, that was a great project, y'all, and so many people helped make that happen. I went to Kansas City, saw some family, and I was bragging about it everywhere we stopped. Well, our church handed out 135 backpacks filled with school supplies. So, you know, if you hadn't had your summer vacation, and apparently several folks are out doing that today, you need to get that in, because it's about over. We walked in today, and there's the school calendar on my desk, and a lot of good things about to kick off. So looking forward to that. Hey, at the end of our service today, we have a real short business meeting just to catch up on a couple things and move ahead. And then a youth council meeting today. And Yaha's going to meet this week, and we're trucking on in the new month here. So good things. I have a story to begin our message. Comes from Dr. Blackaby's book. We're talking about experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. And I didn't plan it this way, but the story just does seem to fit. There was a fella at one of the churches where Dr. Blackaby had been a pastor, and he was very involved in a lot of different things. And somehow, you know, every now and then there's one of those business meetings where it goes your way. And then there are some business meetings where it doesn't go your way. Well, this fella got upset because it was one of those meetings that didn't go his way. And he was a good servant in the church. He was a giver in the church. He was just one of those guys every time the church was open. But he got upset about it and he said, if you're not going to do what I want, I'm going to quit all my jobs in the church. And he huffed out of the building. So later on, Pastor Blackaby goes by and he says, as they were talking, he says, I want to ask you a question. Can you describe your relationship with God by sincerely saying, Lord, I love you with all my heart? And he said, the strangest look came over that man's face. He said, nobody has ever asked me that in my entire Christian life. No, I could not describe my relationship with God that way. I could say I obey Him. I could say I serve Him. I could say I worship Him. I could say I fear Him. But I cannot say that I love Him. You know, the reality of our world today is that if you join a church of any kind, somehow we inadvertently send the message, it's not how can we love and minister to you, it's what can you do for us. And there is, when we are committed to serving the Lord and living our lives in a way that honors Him, doing church work can pretty well wear a fella out, you know? We used to joke that before you joined a Southern Baptist church, you had to have a physical. You needed doctor's permission. And I have a veteran that I had coffee with this week, and he says, I still remember 15 years ago you said, if you ever retire and you belong to a church and you own a pickup truck, you're going to be busier than you'd ever been before. There's a lot of truth to that. But how sad it is, as this gentleman illustrated by that frustrating day in his own life, that I can say a whole lot about my walk with Jesus in terms of what I do or what I'm trying to do or what I think God is pleased with me. But I don't have the ability to humble my own heart or to say with any sincerity that I'm serving the Lord because I love the Lord. And so I think that kind of sets the tone for reality number two that we're talking about. Last week we revisited reality number one, is that God is at work around us. And the premise is that at some point in time, God will invite us to join Him and do what He's doing. But what do we do in the meantime? What do we do if we don't know exactly what God is asking us to do just yet? Or, like the children of Israel, we're waiting for the time to be just right, for all things to work together for good, for the fullness of time to come for them to be delivered. What do we do while we're waiting? And reality number two is we cultivate a love relationship with Jesus Christ. The four spiritual laws the Campus Crusade used as a witnessing tool. The first law was God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And you know, it's amazing. We gloss over the first three words and remember the last. Well, the first three words were God loves you. We can come to church and we can talk about the great things we've done. We can talk about the plans of what we're going to do. We can sing songs that talk about the great themes of the faith. And yet, it takes a guy like Karl Barth to remind us that maybe the most profound truth in all the Bible is Jesus loves me. And that's pretty profound if you know me. And I imagine your testimony would be about the same. That Jesus, the very Son of God, would leave heaven's throne and come to earth, humble Himself as a man, become obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, because He's a great guy? No, the Bible says, because He loved us. For the joy that was set before Him, the joy of living with us in all eternity, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh my goodness. How easy it is to get caught up in serving God and doing the works that He saved us for. There's nothing wrong with that, but we get the horse and the cart backwards. It's very easy for us to give the impression that we're working our way to heaven when we know, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But He did save us unto good works, wherein we're to walk. Ephesians 2:8 to 10. But when you get up on Sunday morning and you say, oh, I've got to go to church and Look at all this stuff I got to do. And we don't have the joy of the Lord that is our strength, or we're not eager to be in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord because we all love Him, and because we all love Him, we all love one another. How easy it is to just get it a little backwards. And so I want to posit as a premise this morning. If you're coming to worship in the house of the Lord and it's not filled with joy, if you're worried more about the stuff you need to do, the chances are good that we're not cultivating the love relationship that we have with Jesus. Coming to church ought to be where we get closer to our Lord than anything else. So our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 15 with Jesus in the upper room. And it's really interesting because you can say, well, we're supposed to be busy serving the Lord. Yes, we are. I totally agree. Jesus said, I want you to bear fruit. In fact, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. But that's verse 8. Go back to verse 1 and he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you aren't connected to the vine, little branch, you're not going to bear any fruit. So there's a sequence here. He's the vine, we're the branches. If we're connected, we bear the fruit. Our verse begins in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. There it is. Abide in his love. Stay connected to him. The Father loved the Son. The Son loves us. Jesus says in this verse, he loves us. Remain in his love. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. He's working it both ways here. I've told you these things so that my joy may be complete in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. So the Father's love in heaven sent Jesus the Son to die for us. Jesus with his disciples, just before he's taken away to be crucified, he's not saying, now I want you to organize like we did at the feeding of the 5,000. Set everybody down in groups of 20 and be ready to pick up the leftovers when we're done. He's not giving them a huddle on how to play football here. He's not giving them instructions on how to be the church busiest church member you know how to be. He's saying, I want you to just live in my love. Whatever else I ask you to do is going to grow out of the love I have for you and the love you have for one another. That is going to be the key. So I have three simple points. It's not going to take long. We're going to get through it and go on to do great things. But don't miss the point. If you don't leave here loving Jesus just a little more, I've really failed us today. Point one is we need to cultivate our love for Christ. In verse 9 it says we are to abide or to remain in his love. Now I always like to compare kind of what we do in church to what the world is doing around us. And you turn on the radio and you hear love songs. In fact, some of you, I know this is going to shock you that the preacher actually knows this. I know you tap your foot to the radio singing country western love songs, or you're flipping on the steering wheel as you drive down the road. But if we sang those songs in church, y'all be ticked. I'm well aware of that. But I brought a love song off the radio, one of my favorites, to the pulpit today. So you be upset if you want to, but it's a beautiful love song. Comes from the group Chicago. And when I first listened to them, my hair was a lot longer. You know, our love was meant to be the kind of love that lasts forever. And I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know everywhere I go, always on my mind, in my heart, in my soul, You're the inspiration. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. You bring feeling to my life. You're the inspiration. I want to have you near me. I want to have you hear me saying, no one needs you more than I need you. Wouldn't you love someone to, I'm not going to sing it to you, but wouldn't you love someone, wouldn't you love that special someone to sing that song to you? Nobody needs you more than I need you. And I know, yes, I know it's plain to see, we're so in love when we're together. Now I know that I need you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You need to know everywhere I go, you're always on my mind, you're in my heart, you're in my soul. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. And I mean, I've been singing that all week, getting ready to talk about that. Why don't Christians talk about Jesus like that? Do you realize that our human love is but a pale imitation of the love Jesus has for us? Jesus walks around and he says, you're the reason I came. You're the reason I laid down my life. You're the inspiration to me. You were the cause. You were the purpose. We say it at Christmas. He's the reason for the season. And yet we live like, oh yeah, I got to go to church. I'm going to go do my serve Jesus thing. Rather than, I can't wait to be in the fellowship where we sing songs about the Lord and where we open the Word and we remind ourselves, Jesus loves me, this I know. Every time I open the Bible, it tells me so. We're to cultivate our love for Christ. Nobody has done for us what Jesus has done for us. And we ought to come to worship each and every day, no matter what topic the preaching is on, even if it's, you know, David and Goliath or Samson and the Philistines, we ought to bow our head before we leave this special place in our lives, and we ought to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me just as I am. Thank you for loving me enough to change me. Whatever problem or circumstance that I face today, I'm thankful for your love, Lord, and I want to live in a manner that is worthy of the love you gave to me. If we would do that every time we come to church, it'd change things. Point number two is that we need to cultivate the disciplines that sustain our love for Christ. If you look at verse 10 there, it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Now, I am going to preach at you just a little bit. I'm going to go to basics. And you measure your own life by the criteria that we've been talking about here. If we're going to remain in the love of Christ, we ought to be doing what Christians have been doing for 2,000 plus years. This is a shock to some of us. We're not the first Christians to ever live on earth. The faith has been around longer than us. There have been people who've walked with Jesus since the Sea of Galilee. And they've all come to these kind of things that we now measure or are the backbone of the Christian life. First of all, is we're born again. There's a personal confession that Jesus is the Lord of all. And it's not just saying, well, Jesus is Lord because God's in charge of all the universe. It's saying, oh, no, no, no. I know he's in charge of everything, but I've invited him into my life. There's been that moment where I said, Lord, I'm tired of being my own boss. And I'm going to swap out my sin for your righteousness. I want you to live in my life. I want you to be on the throne of my heart. I want to give the drivers control of who I am. I'm not living for myself anymore. I want to live for your honor and glory. That's what it means to be born again. That's what Nate sang about today. We believe he's God's son and he died for our sin, and that by inviting him into our world, it changes our life. You need to be saved. Number two, you ought to be baptized. Baptism is where we picture on the outside what happened to us on the inside. Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. We were living a self-centered life, and we died to that. We buried that old guy. And we live in a new kind of life that Jesus brings us. That's what it means to be baptized. And when we come together, that leads us to the third thing. You ought to belong to a local church. When born-again, baptized believers gather together, the Bible word for that is church. It's where we come together to encourage one another in our lives. We are a support system in the local church. We motivate one another to grow. We care for one another on life's journey. It's a place of shared worship and a platform of shared service to others in the name of Christ. And so what is the Sunday morning miracle around here is when we come together, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of us. We got a quorum here today. Aren't we blessed? And he has come to tell us again, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you so much, I stretched out my arms and I died for you. I love you so much that I'm now living inside you and I'm calling you to be involved in the eternal purposes of God. And whether you were here handing out the school supplies Wednesday night, it doesn't matter, because as a part of this church, together we did ministry in Marionville and all the world. That's what it means to belong to a local church. It means we're involved in Bible study. In Acts chapter 2, they got together and they studied the apostles' doctrine. They walked with Jesus. Hey, Peter, what was it like when Jesus said this? And he was able to explain that. They wrote that down. This is what we have. They studied it over and over again. It still amazes me. It still amazes me how people can belong to the family of God, the household of God, and they don't have time to come to Bible study. They don't have time to come to prayer meeting. They don't have time to cultivate the disciplines of the Christian life. Ladies and gentlemen, Bible memory verses isn't just for children at Bible school. It ought to be there for them, but they ought to know that I can go to dad or mom or grandma or grandpa or Uncle Bill or Uncle Joe, and they're going to take out of the overflow of their love and their walk with Jesus, they're going to be able to give me good and godly Christian advice when I have problems. How scary it is with the problems our kids facing today, and they come to us and we got nothing to give? Oh my goodness. And we've been a member of the church for how long? Or we've been a Christian for how long? Bible study, prayer, witnessing, the testimony of our lives. I was lost, but now I follow Jesus. And the larger task of the Great Commission. And the thing that arena where we're always doing the Christian life is the area of stewardship. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. If you're good at a musical instrument and you don't want to use it to glorify God, did he waste that on you? If you've been blessed with financial things, but you're unwilling to give to the kingdom of God to support its purposes, what are you going to say when you stand before the Lord? We all have a gizmo called a cell phone in our pocket. And that thing will organize your life far beyond how organized you ever want to be. We look at each other and go, what was that little beep? What did that mean? Was it a reminder? Am I late for something? Am I supposed to do something? And there's multiple programs that all fit in the same thing. There's an app for that. And we still can't figure out the most important things or get where we need to go or be using our life. Can anybody look at your cell phone, your checkbook, your schedule and know that you're a Christian? And if they can't, what are you doing with the love that Jesus gave to you? So I look at this and I say, you know what? Jesus said, if you obey my commands, if you are walking in the disciplines of the Christian life, you're going to remain in my love. Let me tell it to you plain. The way to fall out of church, the way to fall out of love with Jesus is to get sidetracked off of loving him. And you either get busy in the church and you burn out, or you just start saying, you know, I love something else a little more than I love Jesus today. But I'll be back Sunday, or I'll just miss a couple weeks. And before long, you know what? You miss one here and you miss one there. After a while, you're only here and you're only, you know, it just reverses. And folks just fade away, fade away, fade away. And I look at that and I go, you know, you're not abiding in His love because you're not doing the things that identify you as a Christian. And I'm not saying we're handing out pins for perfect attendance. There was a day when we did that. And then it became a point of pride and we had all of our little bars from the first grade to whatever. I get that. But I tell you what, the kids who were faithful in Sunday school and knew their Bible ended up with a better marriage and a stronger relationship in a Christian home that they established once they got out from dad and mom's roof. And a lot of you have done that, and some of us wish we would have. When you manage your money and you're drowning in debt because you haven't honored the Lord with the first fruits, and you go, I just don't understand. We got to come to church and now it's pray, Lord, oh, help me, rather than I'm at a place where I can help others. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how consistent the connections are between living a disciplined Christian life, between obeying Christ's commands and living and walking all your days in His love. Third thing is to cultivate a relationship with others who love Christ. Verse 11 says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, I want you to be obedient, living in my commands. And while you walk together in obedience, love one another. We're to love one another the way Jesus loves us, with loyalty, compassion, ongoing support. The Christian life is about rejoicing with those who rejoice. It's about weeping with those who weep. It's walking together and working together to serve the Lord and each other. And I tell you, just real honestly, it's easy to say, well, I love God. He's perfect. But God gave you guys, me to love. And that's hard because I'm not perfect. And I loved what the wife said to her preacher husband. You know, the Bible says, wives submit to your husband as your husband submits unto the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the wife said, you got it easy. And he said, what do you mean? He says, well, you submit to Jesus. He's perfect. What about me? This is my command. Love one another. How? As I have loved you. Why do you think Jesus told the husband to love your wife as Christ loved the church? That he would be willing to sacrifice for her. That he would be willing to lay down his life for her. Because that's how Jesus loved the church. You know, I'll get out the paper and I'm not seeing it as much as I used to, but it used to be, okay, I'm like a lot of y'all. I go to the obituary page. Who do I know? What happened? What's going on? And it used to be that I would read the obituary in the paper. Every now and then it would say that this fella who passed away was a deacon at the such and such church down on the corner. Or it would say that this wonderful grandma had been a Sunday school teacher for like 35 years in the children's department. You don't see that very much anymore, but it always used to warm my heart because it said that that person was connected to God's people. They were taking God's love in their own life and they were sharing that out with others in a faithful and dedicated way. They were investing in their community of faith and in their town. They were faithful week in and week out to be in their place of service doing their thing. They were obeying God's word and they were enjoying the benefits of a rich and abundant life as they loved the Lord, served the Lord, and cared for the people at the Lord. And I always said, you know, I go to the coffee shop and I like the table with the good old boys. I tell you what, we could solve a lot of things if the news media would just come and interview us. We would tell everybody else how to, because we solve it every morning, okay? But you know what the obituary for a lot of those guys is? They were an ornery kid growing up. They survived past 18 in spite of the way they drove when they got their license. They sat around and they didn't do a whole lot, but they cussed and discussed everything. And the only person going to miss them when they're gone is the guy who owns the coffee shop. I ask you honestly, which obituary would you rather have them write? They served the Lord. They were faithful at First Baptist Church. They were doing their thing all the time. And they grew up here, and as they learned the Word of God from Jesus Loves Me all the way until In Christ Alone. I look at that and I say, you know what? Over the long haul of life, it really matters whether you live in the love that Jesus has given you. So the application here is church membership. Public participation in a fellowship that's deliberate about following Jesus and organizes to work together to reach that goal. I don't know a perfect church, folks, not by a long shot. And there are many churches to choose from. Some emphasize one thing and some emphasize another. But this is the arena in life where the love of God is the rubber that hits the road of the reality of life. God said, you're going to prove to all the world that you love me by the way that you love one another. And John later on in the New Testament writes, if you don't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you credibly say that you love God whom you have not seen? So we learn in the church. We laugh in the church. We cry in the church. We grow old together in the church. We hold each other accountable in the church to do the things that God wants us to do. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves us. And we, out of His love, are to love one another. So, ladies and gentlemen, reality number two is I don't know what God wants First Baptist Church of Marionville to do. But before He asks us to do anything, He wants us to be something. And that something that He wants us to be is to be in love with Jesus and to be in love with one another. That brings us to our decision points today. How's your love life? Are you in a dynamic, growing love relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? Has there been that moment in time where you've received His love initially that said, I want you to come in and change me with your love? Have you followed Him in baptism, not as a baby or as a means of grace, but have you gone on public record as a grown-up who knows what they're doing, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? And having been baptized, have you joined with a local church? I'd love for you to join this church. I can't believe there's another church in our town. We ought to be everything to everybody all the time. I wish we were. But if you're not going to join our church, join a church. Because that's where you then begin to have the privilege as a growing Christian to slowly and steadily build into your daily life the habits that identify you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's where week in, week out, day in, day out, this year's Bible school, last year's Bible school, next year's Bible school, we're going to have a Christmas program, we're going to watch the children, we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, we're going to sing Victory in Jesus. And when somebody goes to their eternal rest, we're going to gather together and we're going to love those people who are hurting because the person they loved blessed our lives. It doesn't get any better than walking with Jesus and the people that He loves. Hey, friend, if that's not real in your life and you just come and you're worried about the budget or you're worried about the amount of toilet paper in the ladies' room. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff we hear on Monday morning sometimes. It doesn't matter that much. What matters is we walked around and we said hi to each other today. We said, I'm glad you're here. we joined our voices together and we praised God together. Nate led us in a song that is our confession of faith. We leave here encouraged and built up. And because God loves us, we have the ability to love one another. Be a part of that. All right. Are we worried about how to serve the Lord? Not yet. We're going to love Him first, because He loved us. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for a gracious love that while we were yet sinners, before we ever even knew we needed You, You already came and made a way for us to be made right with You. Thank You so much for that. Thank You for the privilege of pilgrimaging together through this life with this precious group of fellow believers right here at First Baptist Marionville. We ask, Lord, if there's one here today who does not know Jesus in a real and personal way, I pray that we talk about that before we all go home. I pray if there's one here ready to say, I want to follow Christ in baptism. During our invitation, we invite them to just come and take my hand and say, I want to be obedient to Jesus. Others, Lord, may want to come and join the family officially, going on record publicly saying, I want to belong here. I want to invest my life here. I want God to use me to love You, and I want God to use you to love me. We pray that as we do this day in and day out, You will build in us the obedience, the characteristics of Jesus Himself, allowing us to love one another deeper, better, every day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.